Good morning, everybody. How y'all doing this morning? I want to let you know you look good this morning, and the reason you look good this morning doesn't have to do anything with your hairstyle, however much you pay for it, doesn't have anything to do with your makeup, none of that stuff. You look good because when God made everything, he looked over everything that he made, and he said it was good. So that means that you are looking real good this morning. And I want you to know, whether you're a member or whether you're visiting, you are in the right place at just the right time, okay? Just the right time. So I want to thank everybody for coming. I bring you greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus. I also want to recognize our shepherd, Pastor Okai. Where is he? He'll be in a minute. I'll say something when he comes in. I want to recognize him for being an over-shepherd of the church. I want to thank all of the people here who participate in all of the ministries. Yesterday morning, I saw a client, and when they left the office, I told them that they couldn't hand out turkeys because they had hurt this area up here, upper shoulder, neck, and back. And just to think that this church gave over 100 turkeys out during the time that we live in today. Let's give ourselves a hand. We do. Hey, we do what the street people call the business. We do the business, okay? And we are putting the business in, all right? Today, I'm actually going to preach from Colossians, the first chapter, 13 through 20. And I want to read it for your hearing before I preach on it. But it says, therefore, he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness, and brought us into the kingdom of the Son that he loves, in whom we have redemption and forgiveness of sins. It says that the Son is the image of the invisible God. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in Jesus, things were created, things in heaven and things on earth, things that are seen and unseen, whether they be thrones or powers or rulers or thought. All things have been created through him. He is before all things, and in him all things are held together. And he is the head of the body, not the tail. He is the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn among the dead, so that in everything God may have supremacy. I'm going to read that one again. It says, for in everything. That means over your feelings, over your knowledge, over your education, over your experience, over your dreams. It says in everything, he may rule supreme. Not how we feel, not how we think, not what we learned in school. It says, for in him, he has supremacy over all of those things. It says, for God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, even while he was here on earth. And through him to reconcile ourselves, he brought us back together with God, okay? Because at one time we were enemies of God and you didn't even know it. So he reconciled us to himself. He reconciled everything back to God. Whether those things were on earth, whether those things were in heaven, he did that by making peace. And how do you make peace? What is the recipe for making peace? The recipe for making peace is the blood of Jesus all over the cross, splattered all over the place, okay? So that's what I'm going to talk about. He shed his blood on the cross. So I'm going to talk about how we are signed, how we are sealed, and how we are delivered. Last night, I went to a birthday party. And, you know, when I come from work, I don't like going away. I want to come home and relax. But I had to go because it was a family member. And I got there maybe like the last hour and a half. And then after it was over, I kind of wanted to relax. And then the celebrants decided to kind of bring this party to my house. And it was unplanned. And we were up to like 1 o'clock, Mariah, in the morning. And everybody was, we were talking about God. All night. We didn't talk about food. We didn't talk about anything. We talked about God. And what amazed me is that those people who were there, even though I know them, even though I love them, I was just I can't think of a good word. I was spellbound at how many different theories and concepts and perceptions of God that I heard. And these are people, like, they shared a faith with me. Some of them are people who I actually helped raise. Yeah, I'm that old. They're people who I helped raise. So I know I gave them this picture of God. You know what I mean? I know I took them into church. I was at the baptism. I was at a confirmation. All that stuff. But very different. Very different. And I was wondering, what was I doing up till 1 o'clock at night and had to get here and preach? And I knew I would be tired this morning. I had not sent Gary into my slides yet. I'm like behind, I'm just a dog. I'm behind in everything. I really am, you know. And I just didn't have it together. God wanted me to hear those conversations before I came to you. And then at the last minute, he said, this is what I want you to preach about. And I was like, okay, I can preach about that. I'll do it tomorrow morning. God said, no, I want you to sit down. I want you to get this together now. So that's what I had to do. So I want to share with you today was an experiment conducted. And the experiment was conducted on a fish. The fish is called the northern pike. And this is in all of the northern waters, especially up there by the Great Lakes. And the northern pike's favorite meal are these little fishies called pickerel. And so what the big, fat, great northern pike does is he opens his mouth and he swims through the water with his mouth open. And when he gets a whole load of those pickerel, gone in one gulp. Then he opens up his mouth and gets some more. And he's a real big, fat fish because that's all he does is eat those little pickerels. So what they did in the experiment, they took the northern pike, make sure he was healthy, they put some pickerel in with the northern pike, and he went there, and like in less than a minute, boom, he ate all of them, every last one of them. The next part of the experiment, what they did, they took the pickerel, and they put the pickerel in a plastic cylinder, and they inserted the cylinder into the water, and so the pickerel were in the cylinder. And then they put the northern pike in. And when they put the northern pike in, you know he was happy because, like, this is another meal, right? And he went for that pickerel, boom, and bumped his nose. But you know he's an aggressive fish. He's a hog. He's a greedy fish. And he's going to eat these fish because this is what he's used to eating. And he kept going and going and going and hitting the cylinder and hitting the cylinder and hitting the cylinder and hitting the cylinder. He gave up. He stopped. He didn't try to go no more. Makes sense, right? Keep getting hit. He didn't go no more. So what they did then is they removed the cylinder. And when they removed the cylinder, he still didn't go after him. I mean, those little pickerel got bold. They was going right up to his face, you know. He would not touch him. The sad part of the experiment is the northern pike died. Guess what he died from? Starvation. He died from starvation because he kept going after something. And when he couldn't get it, he became a victim of poor perception. That's what happened. He became a victim of poor perception. Many of us, many Christians, have become victims of poor perception. We got saved. They told us who God was. We experience God in our life. He did something personal for us. Like, we can't deny him because we know him. And we also know that what God did for us, nobody could do. When I was out of church a couple weeks ago and my hip was bad, I thought it was something that was permanent. I mean, to tell you, I was scared. I know y'all were praying for me, but I don't know who told you. But I was just afraid. So eventually I went to the doctor. You know, men are a little slow going to the doctors. But I did go to the doctor, and the doctor said the x-ray was okay. It was nothing abnormal. But he gave me 2 vials. And I mean, the vials were stuffed with pills. It looked like the vials, it was small, but like it was 100 pills in one little vial, right? One was a muscle relaxer, and the other one I was supposed to take for pain. And I took both of them. None of them helped. I was in just as much pain. It was like I just might as well have ate some candy because it did nothing for me. I put ice on it, nothing. I put heat on it, nothing. I was limping. I couldn't put weight on it or anything. And I found out that the saints of God were praying for me and this church. And when I woke up one day, the first thing I did, because when you got a pain, the first thing you do is a pain check. And I woke up and I was on my back and I moved this and I didn't feel anything. I said, oh, when I put my leg over here, I know I'm gonna feel it. And I put my leg over and the pain was gone. I said, when I stand up, I know I'm gonna feel it. When I stood up, I still didn't feel it. Oh my goodness, I said, let me hobble to the bathroom. And I walked to the bathroom and I just could not stop praising God. I was in the house by myself. I could not stop because I know it was Him. And this is how we start our Christian journey out. We know it's God. We know God. We know how to pray to God. God has given us things that we needed and never even asked for. And nobody in the room had what we needed except for God. And He didn't give you a little bit. He gave you even more than you needed. But then all of a sudden, we looked at social media. And social media said, oh, well, you know the Bible's not true. Oh, well, you know we got similar stories over here. Oh, well, you know, did God really say that? And then we become just like the Northern Pike. We trying to get to the God that belongs to us, but we keep bumping against this thing that's trying to tell us that our God is not real. And we know He's real. We have a personal experience where we have our own relationship with Him. And so we become victims of poor perception. So I want to clear up some of the poor perceptions that we may have of God. The first one is the view that God is distant or uninvolved, all right? It says God has rescued us. Pastor, what that means is that if God rescued me, if I was drowning and you rescued me, you would have to come to me. I can't come to you because I couldn't swim. You would have to come and get me. So you did not come to God. God came to you. He knew that you needed Him. You couldn't swim. You couldn't dig your way out of the mess that you were in. But look at how good you look now. Because look at where God has brought you from. So I want to dispel the misconception, the bad perception that God is distant or uninvolved. And I want to say, if you ever go to anybody's church and the preacher says God doesn't need you, I want you to pack your things up, shoop, and go to the door, all right? Because God made us, not only made us, He made us in His own image. I look at a snake. A snake looks ugly to me. Some animals look mean. Like, I wouldn't go up and try to pet them. Rather, I knew what kind of, and some animals just look mean. And some of them are mean. They have an attitude for no reason. You don't have to do anything for them to come get you. They will bite you, track you down. They look mean and ugly, and they are mean and ugly. No offense to the animal rights people. I'm not saying destroy animals, but they look ugly. But we don't look ugly because God made us in His own image. He didn't make nothing else in His own image. He made us in His own image. He wanted us to look just like Him. And that's how He created us. And so then He rescued us. And He not only rescued us, but He brought us into the kingdom of the Son that He loves. It's poor perception to think that God is detached from us, that God is harsh to us, that God is indifferent to us. So Paul goes down to the church of Colossians and says, stop this foolishness and get these people out of your church. You know the people that he wanted them to put out of the church. It was the people who were trying to bring pagan practices into the new life, into the life. God said, take my yoke upon you because my yoke is easy. He said, you got to burn no sage. He said, you don't have to pray to the east three times a day. You don't have to twirl around in the middle of the floor. He said, wherever you are, you can talk to me because I'm there. Matter of fact, what took you so long, Andrew? I've been waiting for you to talk to me. I've been sitting here waiting for you. That's the God we serve. So I want to dispel the myth that God is distant. Yes, we say God is in heaven, but we also know that we have His Holy Spirit living with us and that the Holy Spirit's job is to lead us and to guide us into all unrighteousness. So God is with us. He's not distant. He wants a relationship with you. If He didn't, why would He save you? Why didn't He just let you succumb to sin? Okay? So I want to dispel that myth. The next thing I want to do is the view that Jesus is less than God. In the scripture I read, it says He is the image of the invisible God, but it says in Him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. So God is exalted over any angel. God is exalted over any principality or power, any mayor, any governor, any executive on a council. God is exalted amongst all of them. He is above any other spiritual being. And so since he's above them, and he said, come to me, all ye that are laden and burdened, and I will give you rest. We don't need those things anymore. And if you go to Instagram or any other social media outlets, they tell you all of these things that you got to do to get in communication with God. And God said, all I got to do is all this just like, I don't need to burn anything, not unless I just want the house to smell good. I don't need to do any of that, okay? I don't need a sage. I don't need to take 5 stones and put them in the northwest corner on the southwest side of my house. I don't need to do that, because he ain't told me to do that. He said, I'm with you. He said, lo, I'm with you even to the end of the earth. And then what I like about our spirituality, we have a paranoia spirituality, because you know how people who are paranoid say, I feel like somebody is following me. Yeah, it is. It is everywhere we go. Goodness and mercy is following me all the days of my life. So you can look over your shoulder and you can see goodness and mercy. So I need to let you know, Jesus is not less than God. And then the next thing, I want to address the poor perception that somehow God is limited or weak. Because it says, by him all things were created. And it says, through him all things are held together. And when I saw that, I was thinking, what about like the atomic bombs? Like, they're not blowing up right now, right? But something is holding them together. So in order for them to blow up, God has to release. What about somebody who meets me at the ATM? And I got a pocket full of ones and a couple of tens and a 20, right? God said that no one formed against me shall prosper, because he's holding it together. It didn't say when the person pulled out the gun to put it on me. It didn't say when he draws the knife on me and says, give me that money. God said that the weapon, when it was made, so they got several guns, knives in the store already made, but they can't do nothing to me. Because when they were formed, he said, nothing that's formed that's designed to go against you, it'll never prosper. And then he said, it won't even work. It won't even work against me. So you go there and shoot me, and even if the gun goes off, God's got something good for me. God's got something better. No weapon formed. So I need to let you know, I want to dispel the myth that God is limited or that he's weak. Poor perception includes God only governs the spiritual realm. So that's a big lie. God is only in the spiritual realm. So here's the spiritual realm, and here's the earthly realm. You only have to acknowledge God when you're in the spiritual realm. So then when you're in the other realm, you can live a life any kind of way you want to. God says no. He says, I'm going to be Lord of your life, of your whole life, everything you do, 100%, or leave me alone. Leave me alone. Don't go to hell in a Volkswagen when you can go in a Cadillac. You know what I'm saying? Go all the way. If you're going to sin all the way. Don't sin and then come to church to do a monthly check-in and then go back out there. If you're serious about this thing, be serious about it, because God is not limited to anything. No spiritual realm. He's in the spiritual realm and he's in the real realm. God does not require any intermediaries. He doesn't need no beads. He doesn't need an angel to do anything for him. God is one power amongst many. I heard Jesus say, Dan, he said that I am the way. He said, I'm the truth and the light. He said, and nobody goes to the Father except by me. Except by me. So God is not weak. He is not limited. All right? And then the last myth that I want to dispel is a view that God is harsh or unforgiving. So I'm almost finished, but I just want to take a second and tell you about this story. Y'all probably heard it before. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was God. The Word was with God. And so God made these people, and he put them in the garden. Y'all familiar with that? And it was Adam in the garden, and then he had Eve. He needed a helpmeet for him. And when they were in the garden, I want you to acknowledge there was no sin. You following me? There was no sin. There were no funeral homes. There were no hospitals. But he had a man and a woman, and they eating good, and he taking care of them, but it's no hospitals. It's no clinics. They have no doctors, no nurses, no daycare facilities, none of that stuff. So that lets me know that when God made man, he made things perfect for us. God not only does look like him, if we look good, we do. You just get a mirror and look at yourself if you got one pulled out. He not only made us look like him, he gave us a perfect world. Everything was perfect. We didn't need anything. Everything he had right there in the garden. Oh, you want to get something better than that? You didn't have to work. I mean, I know it was no football games, but you didn't have to work. Could you imagine it? You didn't have to even toil. God provided everything. And then man, sin. And so sin entered the world. But death, hospitals, sickness, that was not God's original plan. How dare we say that God is unforgiving? How dare we say that God is harsh when he made us for a perfect world and nobody messed it up but Adam? All right? Nobody messed it up but Adam. So I just want you to know, I want you to know that God is not hard to please. God is not driven by his anger, not like we are. Because, you know, we can be pretty mean to somebody. If somebody hurts our feelings, we can block their calls, won't let them in the house and stuff like that. God is not like that. When we sin against God, we go back, he forgive us, totally forgive us, take our sins as far as the east is from the west, and he totally forgives us. So I wanted you to know today that your salvation has been given by a supreme, almighty God who cares. Let me tell you, God loves people more than anything. And the people that he loves are the people who are under the sound of my voice because I'm talking to you. And never forget that God always wants to hear from you. God is always willing to forgive you. So I need you to leave here today knowing that your salvation has been signed by some beautiful blood of Jesus on the cross. It's been sealed because when he was on the cross, he said, it's finished. This is it. I'm out. I've done the work, man. It's over. Nobody can come and do anything different for us and for our salvation and for our redemption and to connect us back to God. That work is done. And not only is the work done, when you take a letter, when you take a card and you write your name on there, love Sarah, and after you write your name on it, Sarah, when you please with the content of everything in that letter, you know what you do? You seal it. Lick the envelope and seal it. And once you seal it, the next step is that it's ready for delivery because everything in that envelope is complete. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin left a crimson stain, but Jesus, through his blood, he signed it. Oh, I got a signature that I'm saved. And he sealed it. No more can go in and no more can come out. It's guaranteed. It's eternal. And then he delivered it to me. I didn't want him to deliver it to me, but that letter made its way on my porch. It came there. Amazon didn't bring it. God bought it. And he bought it when I needed it. And he bought it, and I didn't even know I needed it. I thought I was a pretty good person, but I was dirty. I was no good. Why did I always feel like I had to chase the cat? Because it wasn't nothing but the dog in me, all right? Nothing but the dog. And God said, I'm going to clean you up. And I said, God, would you leave me alone? Because I'm living good. I know who you are. I love you. I acknowledge him. But he said, that's not good enough. That's not good enough. I got something for you. And this is what he had for me. And this is what he has for you. As I take my seat, I just want to remind you of one last thing. I say it every time I preach, Allison. Today, when you go home, you're going to pull out a key and open the door. That's how you're going to access it. You're going to go over family house or friend house. Knock on the door. They're going to see you. Oh, it's Brandon. Let Brandon in. Brandon comes in, right? But when you came here today, you walked in the door like you own something here. You didn't ask nobody, can I come? You just walked in. Whether you're a member or a visitor, you just walk right in that door. And the only way that you can feel comfortable walking in here without knocking, without asking for permission, you got to have a relationship with God. God had to bring you here because nobody else would bring you here but God. So may the Lord be glorified, may the Lord be lifted up, and may these words edify your spirit, and may they get deep down inside of you and just trouble you. Trouble you until you do something about it, until you help somebody else, and until you tell somebody else. May God's peace dwell with you. Amen.